Hey, Carla, that's you, dear listener. Today, we're diving into the topic of motherhood idolatry. There are mothers who worship their children, and then there are mothers who sacrifice their children on the altar of self. But wait, is there a difference? Listen in.
Hello.
Megan about made me go deaf.
Sorry, I was trying to adjust my own mic and ended up turning yours all the way up.
Oh, and I also am going to pull Marla in here. She is digitally available again, but I have her mic muted because it's a little loud where she is. So
she's at a food court.
Let's pull it back up. Hi, Marla.
Hi, I'm here in Las Vegas, Nevada, she's live here from SEMA.
Listening in.
From Sin City.
Yep. I know.
Okay.
It's wicked just to be here.
What are you doing? Are you seeing a show or are you just walking around and being free?
We're at the event center for the SEMA show, which is a huge car and truck vendor event. So one of Tim's clients is here with a booth and he invited Tim to come. So,
yay, vacation.
Meeting folks and yeah, we went out to dinner last night and it's been good. I've been really tired at the end of the day. We walked 23,000 steps yesterday, almost 10 miles.
Jeez. I thought you were going to say 23 miles or 23,000
miles. 23
miles.
It felt like
that. Are you still
that.
Not impressed? what more do you want from her?
Or a marathon almost. No, 10 miles is impressive, but I was about to be like, what? Anyways.
By the end of the week, it'll be that much. If we're at 10,000 a day or, 10 miles a day. 10,000 miles.
I wouldn't walk 500 miles. I looked at Tabby just knowing that that was going to be the next thing that came out of her mouth. So anyway, did you hear our intro, Marla?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, and I did see Megan's Marco, so I recall that what she wants to talk about. So.
Okay, I'm going to turn you down and then you wave at us if you have something to contribute. Okay, Megan.
Yeah.
Explain to us where your headspace was last night when you wanted to talk about this.
Well, it actually started at Walmart, as all good stories do. And I was looking for a very specific laundry basket that would fit a 12-inch shelf.
Did you have all articles of clothing on and
I did.
Fitting properly?
Well, you know, that's debatable.
Okay, well, this is not going to be as good of a Walmart story as some, but
I wasn't
ahead.
Wearing my pajamas. I wasn't wearing my house slippers. I did have all three children, and at one point, they were almost all on the floor. Ari was making her way out of the cart, but that's neither here nor there. These are specifics that you don't need to know, Carla. What you do need to know is that I had to take a phone call while looking for this very specific hamper with having my three children struggling with, no, we do not do that in public. And we really shouldn't do that at home either. And it was a technical phone call. So she was giving me all kinds of specs and stuff because I was getting something laser engraved to put on a wall. And so I was thinking numbers and dimensions and how am I going to get this thing on the wall once it's been engraved? And so the person is talking to me in very technical terms while doing other these things. And I finally had to stop her and I'm like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to repeat everything I just said or everything you just said, because right now my job involves taking my kids with me everywhere.
Sorry.
Don't hurt yourself, Andy. And I told her, I was like, this is the part I really miss about my job that I just quit, is that I had childcare so I could focus solely on the task at hand and I didn't have to divide my brain in three different places. And to which she corrected and encouraged me by saying, we live in a culture that is child-centered and it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're taking your kids along with you. Basically, you're taking them to work with you. And you're teaching them it's not all about them. And you're teaching them how to behave in public. And you're teaching them that the world is not going to bend down and kiss their butts. She didn't say those words. I'm paraphrasing. So,
but when she said child-centered.
Child-centered.
She means the world is child-centered. And so most parents would leave their kids home when they went to the grocery store.
What she was insinuating was that most parents would make it all about them.
To the store all about the kids.
They would get them a toy maybe or something like that. They would pacify their kids or they would ultimately they would have somebody else watch them while you're doing the thing because they'd be a lot happier with, you know, grandma getting ice cream right now than being dragged across the store looking for something specific and being told not to climb the shelves by mom.
Okay. Because when you first said you wanted to talk about like child worship, or I guess child centrism, last night, the first thing I was going to do was ask you to give me an example of that. Because to me, I didn't understand what your friend meant when she was like, oh, we live in a child-centric culture. Because I would not say that we live in a child-centric culture, but I guess it depends on what she meant by that. So what, like, an example you're saying would be bringing the kid and bribing them with a toy or getting a fun babysitter. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be child-centric. Right. So then your question last night, oh, Marla has something. Okay, yeah. <you're> on.
I was confused because when she said child-centered, I made like a face like, I don't understand. And I feel like what she said and what she meant are not the same.
Yes.
Because when I think child-centered or centric or whatever, I think the whole focus is on the child in a negative way, whereas what I think she was saying is that it's good to bring them places and show them like, hey, the world doesn't revolve around you. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's what
yes.
I'm
so she was trying to encourage me that what I was doing was a good thing, despite the fact that it was really hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that the fact that it was hard didn't mean that it was the wrong thing to be doing.
Right.
Or that I should apologize to her for not understanding her technical terms.
So then you asked, like last night you said, I'm turning you back down again, Marla, just so you know. I already said that. I'm trying to say that last night you said that you wanted to talk about the two extremes, the differences between child sacrifice, which we talk about a lot on the podcast, like pertaining to abortion, and child centrism or child worship, which you were saying is like another extreme.
Yes. So that got my brain spinning because I was like, wow, you know, the opposite of what I was doing would be to basically sacrifice raising them myself and getting the, you know, massive amounts of like daycare or whatever to do a job, to do what I was doing. Not that I'm doing what I'm doing to get fame or fortune by any means, but
you were saying the opposite of what you did yesterday when you were on the phone and grocery shopping and parenting all at the same time would be to go and get your kids enrolled in public school and
offload my children
and nanny or, you know, the things that we've talked about before. And so I immediately thought last night, even while you were talking, I was like, I do not agree that that's the opposite. I don't think that what your friend calls child centrism is actually being child centered. I think it was a really poor way to describe what's happening. And we all agree it's happening, but I don't think it's accurate to describe it as being child centered.
So you think it's mislabeled?
Yes. I think it's confusing.
What would you label it as?
Because that almost makes it sound like somebody who isn't on the phone, who isn't having their brain necessarily divided, somebody who is cooing at the baby while pushing the shopping cart or, you know, giving their kid a toy car while they're shopping is somehow doing it wrong. Like that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. I do
either.
Have a very oddly specific example. And right, I don't want to pick apart the example necessarily. It's more of the underlying philosophy.
Was it the Amish thing?
Well, I started thinking about what the Amish do, where the Amish are they raise their children. The children have chores from a very young age and they help on the farm. They help support the family from age, I think, two years old is when they start. And they learn very quickly that it's not about them. It's about the family unit and it's about the community around them. And I would like to think that they do it well.
Right. But see, again, when you brought up Amish, like earlier today, I thought you were giving that as an example of child worship or being child centered.
Really?
Yeah. Which is why
I'm
confused.
Saying it's the opposite. Huh.
Yeah. So I was looking for an example of, you know, supposedly of our culture worshiping children, because I don't think that's what we're seeing when we see, people bribing their kids with candy and getting them nannies. And
you don't think like getting them everything, giving them basically never telling your kids no, making sure they're always happy or trying to make sure they're always happy, bending to their every little will.
Yeah. I don't think that's child centric. Really? I think that's self-centered. I think that's another example of parents indulging their own feelings and basically spoiling their children. Maybe spoil is the word we're looking for. Spoiling your child is never done because it's good for the child or because you're centered on the child. Okay. I'm going to pause right here very quickly because Tabby had to go in the other room and I hear a fight happening. Okay.
The difference between them.
We're back. Yes, Marla. What were we talking about right before we had to go and parent?
I think we were talking about that the two extremes seem very different, but they're actually very similar and that the sin is the same. So
yes,
putting, you know, sacrificing your children is putting yourself as the idol, and then making your children your number one is making your children your idol instead of God.
Yes. So that I think
in a marriage
is what
situation should be.
I think that's what Megan was thinking last night, right? Like sometimes people make their kids into the center of their universe, and sometimes people make themselves into the center of the universe.
I was seeing them as two separate sins. Like, it's the same sin of idolatry, but the God, the small g God, is different. But after talking with you guys in the kitchen, I think I might be wrong on that one.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not going to say it's not possible to make your children into an idol, like to over worship or to over prioritize them. I'm not going to say it's not possible to pour too much of yourself into your children. But I'm not totally sure that it's a very common thing. I don't think people are actually worshiping their children when they're doing things that we would say might look like they are worshiping their children. Does that make sense?
Right. I was even trying to think just now of an example of somebody who is putting their children as their little G God. And it's like, I don't even think I can come up with one because every single one I came up with was like, oh no, that's actually selfishness. Yep. Oh no, that's actually selfishness. Yep. Oh crap. That's servicing yourself.
That's self again.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, okay. So for an example, there's a mom group, every mom group in the country. Okay. So there's every mom group in the country. And in that mom group, there's a mom who's like making bento lunches. Uh-oh, Simon the sad.
Yes. My children are having a day.
Tabby. I don't know what he's saying. So, you know, there's the mom who cuts all of her kids' lunches into these cute little themes and is like getting her kids matching outfits for all the fall pictures.
I get not that any of those things in and of themselves are bad.
No, I'm saying let's imagine that there's a lady who's doing all of these things. She also takes all of these selfies while she and her kids are at the zoo and at the park and at the, you know, church event. And it seems like, okay, so quintessential Pinterest mom, as we like to call them, doing all the stuff. I think there's a temptation to think, wow, that is a lady who might be putting her kids too high on a pedestal or doing too much worshiping of her kids. And I don't actually think that that's an example of child worship, which is why I don't like that phrase. I think it's still self-worship because it feels good to get the accolades from doing all those things. And more importantly, it's not good for the kids when you make them into your opportunity to indulge something or someone. Like when you turn them into this like lap poodle that always gets all the treats and you end up spoiling them because they wear human clothes and they're, you know, all of this stuff. Most veterinarians will tell you that's not good. Dogs weren't designed to eat that kind of food. They're animals, and so animals have a certain set of needs. And children have a certain set of needs, too, that when we start spoiling them, we're not meeting.
We're not helping them by any means.
We're not parenting them, and it's not actually... If we really were child-centered, we would discipline, too. If we really were child-centered as a culture, we would care less about how they looked for the fall pictures and care more about how they were acting, you know, in polite company, things like that. And that's why I just think it might be a misnomer when we say, oh yeah, we live in this child-centered culture. We live in a child-indulgent culture in some cases, but really what we have now is a whole generation of parents who were indulged as children and are still very self-indulgent because they think that's what love is. You know, they think love means getting yourself a treat at the grocery store and and having all of these fun vacations and dressing up and having everyone tell you how cute you look and all of that. So I don't know. Does that make sense? Marla is going to jump in, thankfully, because I feel like I'm not saying it very well.
Well, I was just going to give an example of so Tim and I are at this event. This is the first time we've been alone on an overnight, just us, no kids, since our honeymoon, which was 4 years ago. I like being around my kids. I like being home. And because I feel like that's good for them, it's not always the easy thing, right? We're stay-at-home moms. We know that it can be really difficult and we don't always have the patience to do it. But when we were in Gatlinburg a month ago and I was with my family and, you know, there were lots of opportunities for Finley. She's still pretty attached to me to like go to other people. And she just wouldn't. She was very attached to me. And I was like, okay, I think it is time for us to get away. And I really didn't want to. I knew I was going to miss them. I didn't want to. Like, I was kind of afraid. I just had a lot of anxieties about it. But I was like, I know I need to do this because I'm afraid. And I just need to trust God in the process. And I feel like it's easy for a lot of parents to not make their marriage a priority. And I know that this is maybe a small like tangent that we could go off of, but I think it still pertains to that example of, well, I can't leave them, but it's more about me. They're totally fine at home with my mom says Finley's been fine. She only cries occasionally when she sees my picture. And it's like, it was me that was scared and afraid, but I knew it was something I had to do because it was not an issue of leaving my children. It was an issue of I'm not trusting God in this situation to take care of them because they're not mine anyways. You know what I mean? They're on loan to me from God. And I'm just, I don't know. Yeah. Am I making any sense at all?
Yeah. Like, One of the things I think that is a clear sign of who is being idolatrous or really what they're idolizing is what brings them anxiety or what are they afraid of? Mm-hmm. And so there are women who are afraid of having their kids go out in public with dirty faces. You know, there mm-hmm. are women who they're afraid, they're anxious about mm-hmm. having their kid misbehave or, mm-hmm. You know, they're anxious that something would not look good to an outsider. You know,
because it reflects back on them, not necessarily because of the child.
Yes. Not mm-hmm. because they're doing what they think is best for the kid per se, although they will always say that's what their goal is. They will always mm-hmm. claim that what they're doing is thinking what's best for the child. But really, it's a personal fear or a personal issue that mom is working through. And the child just becomes sort of the excuse for why they do that. So, yeah. I think that we're kind of all saying the same thing, and I think we're more on the same page now than we were maybe yesterday. I just don't like calling it child centrism because again, everybody who makes their decisions claims they're doing it for the child. So I have an example. I'm going to turn Marla down again. Look at her though and tell me if she waves.
Because I'm going to look at my phone. Food court background that we're trying to remove, Marla.
It's just she's giving us such a bad case of FOMO that we can't bear to listen to the sounds of Las Vegas in the background. So I'm looking at my phone now because I read this yesterday on social media and I was like, oh, I feel like we can pull this into the conversation. This mom says, remember back when I was a contributing member of society and provided for my family? Yeah, me neither. It's getting old because it's been so long. This stay-at-home mom stuff is not for me. It's Margo again. Margo's been here about four times.
Margo is desperate for a snack because she's bored, not because she's hungry.
I don't think Margo can have a snack because she's been told four times to not interrupt. And so if she keeps interrupting, she can't have a snack even after the podcast.
Aunt, I'm sorry somebody ate your food. You should have eaten it when you were hungry. Goodbye.
Yeah, the kids have this thing where at lunchtime they leave everything on the table for like hours, for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, and they don't eat a bite of it. And then around 2 or 3 o'clock, they want snack time. Mm-hmm. And any mom who has been a mom for like 30 seconds knows that struggle and has lived it. So I'm not telling the moms listening anything they haven't already heard. They will not eat at lunchtime. They only want goldfish at snack time.
Well, and I mean, I feel like my children are learning that valuable lesson of a big family where if you don't eat your food, somebody probably will. Yes. So you better eat it quickly and you better eat it when it's in front of you.
This is why we tell you to sit down and finish your food and don't jump up and run to the screen. Oh, Tabby wants me to turn her back on too.
I was just explaining this phenomenon to my mother-in-law, who grew up technically without siblings. She has two older sisters, but they were like 18 and 16 when she was born. And so she was laughing at her husband, who grew up with another brother, like 16 months apart, and how fast they will eat their food. And I'm like, you don't understand. It is a dog-eat-dog world out here when you have siblings that will come by if you get up just to go to the bathroom and wolf down your food. Like, you don't know this because, yeah. Right. And so my husband
now or never.
Graciously offers that benefit to my daughter. If she gets up, I'm like, your daddy's going to come through here. Look He's going to eat it.
She doesn't have an older sibling, but she has a father who will teach her.
Who eats garbage.
Daddy will eat it.
Yeah, here he comes. Run.
Come back.
Anyways.
You were going to, it was such a good social media post before it got interrupted. Please.
That was basically it. All I said was that this lady posted, remember back when I was a contributing member of society and I provided for my family. Yeah, I don't remember it either. It's getting old. The stay-at-home mom stuff is not for me. And then down in the comments, her husband said, your job at home is important too. I appreciate you taking care of the house and the kids. And the dinner you made tonight was fire.
Aw. Wait, her husband came on social media and basically, wow.
Yeah, and you know what she said?
That's kind of cute.
Oh. Yeah, but I want to do stuff when I want to do them. The beach, Disney, Harry Potter World, beach some more, Greece, Jamaica, Fiji, Maldives. Can't do that without a job.
Wow, it's really all about you, isn't it?
No. Oh, but that was why I brought this up.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that mother believes she's doing all of those things for her children, for the memories, for the experiences. She would say that she is a very child-centric mother, right? And she would also say that was a good thing. Just like the ladies that I mentioned before in all of the mom groups, there's one in every mom group, sometimes more, who, you know, they go all out with the organic food, or they've got only what's the thing? Essential oils. I couldn't remember what it was called. And they, you know, do everything. They have a special diet and they have the special routine with their families and cloth diapering and baby wearing and all of this. And they would say they're doing it for their kids. But I think in some cases, it's more obvious than others who it's really for.
That's what makes this topic specifically very, very difficult. But there are some things that if you're looking at them as just a rule list, right? This is what makes a good mom. This is what you do if you want what's best for your kid. You baby wear, you cloth diaper, you homeschool, you do bento boxes. It would be very, very anxiety inducing for a lot of moms, me included, right? Be like, well, I don't do a lot of those things. I don't make bento boxes. My kids don't even eat the lunch I do give them.
Yes, let alone let it be organic.
Yeah, let alone if I were to give them veggies.
You know how many snacks I'd have to give during the middle of the podcast if I was making organic lunches?
There was no fruit snacks involved. And so it's one of those where it's like you really have to be thinking about your motivations, because something that is normally good for your kids, even objectively, like, oh, more outdoor time, more, you know, more vegetables, more
music,
art. Yeah. All the things that most people would say objectively are good, if you're not doing them for the right reasons, aren't good for your children.
Right.
And that's what makes this so hard. That's what I was saying when you gave the shopping cart example. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, we have to be careful because
you can't make blanket statements.
Right.
No, you should not be walking around at Walmart with your brain in three different places. Like that's not, I wasn't trying to say I'm so amazing.
Well, Carla. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you are telling your kids, I said, sit down, all while reaching for the cereal.
Yep.
And sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I get to like talk to my kids and we play I spy while I haphazardly grab things and I'm like, oh, I'm not even really paying attention to the groceries. We're just having a good time. Right. And both of those things are good for my children. Sometimes we play fun grocery games and sometimes I'm threatening you.
Right. Like, right. And happens. I think child-centric is not a bad thing. I actually think that we as moms are supposed to make our children our priority. Our husbands are first. God is even the first beyond him.
The first,
and then the second first, and then third first. So God first. But that's kind of my point, though. Like, how you know when you've got something out of order is when your desire to keep your kid happy goes beyond your desire to keep God happy. Well, now it's an idol. However, it's not good for the kid or for you or for your husband. you know, if you're doing that. And so if you do really have God first, then suddenly everything else is kind of, there's a freedom in Christ. Like everything else is suddenly redeemable and could potentially be a really good choice for you and your family and your kids. But if God is not first, nothing is a good choice. Nothing you're doing is actually good for you and your kids. So I think it's important to kind of think about what we mean when we say child-centric, because if you are actually thinking of your child's best interest, it is your child's best interest that God come first. And it is in your child's best interest that you sometimes do things that don't make either of you feel very good.
Ugh.
That was last week's episode.
And today I was bringing my own anxieties again about, we had mentioned Marcy's long sleeve thing.
Yes.
Well, today it was pants. And I jumped back on because I was feeling a little bit of self-doubt and was like, I'm not crazy, right? Like,
she has to wear pants, right?
Like, she has to wear, because there's, it was one of those where I realized I wasn't following my own ideas of motivation, where yes, there are some times where she gets to change her pants 7 times that day because we've got the time to, or whatever, or I'm teaching her how to dress herself or something like that, something for her benefit. And then there's times where I decided, like today, that also for her benefit, I'm sorry, I don't want to change your pants 10 times. There's nothing wrong with this pair. And it's very difficult because afterwards it felt like both of us hated that decision. And I was like, why does this suck so bad?
Right. Right. And Megan, I think your friend was correct. I just really just take issue with the terminology, because I think you're being child centric when you pull your kid off the floor at Walmart and say, we do not act like this in public. Like, that's a child centric right. thing to do. And you're being child centric when you show them, this is how I work. I have to get some work done right now, and it's not all about you. You're mm-hmm. being child-centric when you say, walk out of the room. We need 20 minutes. That's all we need to record this podcast. And so because I love you and because I want you to be raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord, I am not letting you interrupt right now. And I think your friend would call child-centric just when you say, okay, sweetheart, come on, we'll go get you a snack right now. You know,
and yeah, make it, basically she was referring to child centric as making it all about the kid all the time.
Right. And that's not something whatever that
whatever the kid
is,
wants yes. all the time.
I don't think that's child worship. I think that's mommy's flesh worship. But do you have anything else to add, Marla? We're coming up on the end.
No, that was all good.
Oh, thank you.
Yay.
Yes. Thank you, Matt.
A plus.
You know, it reminds me, like, we're reading about the Israelites right now and homeschooling. And my 7-year-old was like, why do the Israelites keep making gods?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the statues and stuff like that. Because to her, like, that's silly. That's absolute silliness to worship a statue. Yep. And I'm like, well, Piper, we all have small g gods in our lives that we constantly have to put down. And she didn't understand. And so, you know, we were going through some examples of maybe what she likes even more than God.
Yeah.
And it rung true to her. And I was thinking, man, what are some of the small g gods in my life that it's like we roll our eyes at these Israelites, like,
yep,
stupid golden calf.
I had that same conversation with Colin, as a matter of fact, because he was doing the same thing. He was like, ah, every time I repeated the words, and they forgot God again.
Oh, yes.
And worshiped idols. He was like, ah. And I said,
why can't they get it?
I said, think about it, Colin. They're hungry. What sort of things come out of your mouth when you're hungry? This is awful. I've never been full in my life. I've never eaten food that was good in my life. I'm going to die out here. Like, that's
his
100%.
Is worst day ever.
Worst day ever. And he got it then. He was like, oh, like he suddenly kind of felt sorry for the Israelites, knowing that, yeah, they were going through what they thought was probably the worst thing anyone has ever suffered ever in the history of mankind. And they just, their mouths would open up and just kind of wag. Their tongues would wag and they would say all this stuff that they knew deep down was wrong, but they just kept saying it anyway. So speaking Marcy of Colin, he's wandering around the table, knocking plugs on the floor and stuff. I don't know what's, well, actually I do know what's wrong with the kids today. I hid all of the remote controls earlier this morning. There are no screens in the house, which is why Carla, you're like, wow, some days they have everything together, and today, not so much. Well, today, they're going full unplug. This is unplug just because I love you day.
So. Well, and like I said, Marcy's having a whole week, so that was just a little taste of it. Although she hasn't asked about the Israelites specifically, but she has been asking when I say, oh, because they're doing naughty things. Doing naughty things. She goes,
like, what naughty things?
Oh, well, why? She does. Yes,
why
she
would
does
they make
know,
such a bad choice?
She does want to know what the naughty things are, and I'll explain to her. Like, we were reading about Joseph. Well, he got sold into slavery. Well, that's a naughty thing. What is being sold into slavery? You know, I'm explaining all that. But she goes, why? And I said, because that's naughty. They're evil. Why? And I'm like, well, why do you do naughty things? And then she kind of giggles at me like, well, Mom, that's a dumb question.
Because it feels good. Yeah, it makes like, perfect sense at the time.
Right. But in her head, it's like, the Israelites, she's like, well, I've never sold anybody into slavery.
Right.
And it's like,
I never got manna from heaven.
Right. And if I had manna from heaven, I wouldn't complain about anything.
Yes. Oh, wouldn't we like to think so? All right. I'm going to play our outro music. Somebody say something interesting while we're...
I'm done refinishing that dresser.
What?
I'm done refinishing my dresser.
All right.
You can celebrate. Carla, celebrate with me.
That has nothing to do with what we were talking about.
You just said something interesting.
You said something. I understood the assignment.
Have fun in Vegas,
I understood
Marla.
The assignment.
Thank you for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can also find us on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling and on Instagram, Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals. We also have an email account, foursistersonesavior@gmail.com. And those are also numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.